Introduction. The word was vagina. I was sitting in my office at the health club, doing the usual, admiring shapely females, texting my family and friends, blabbing on the phone, etc., when the door swung open and a gorgeous blonde suddenly burst in. For our purposes, we'll call her Ellen. Ellen was a tiny little thing, only a smidgen over 5 feet. But her expensive sunglasses, 5-inch heels, and breasts the size of ripe cantaloupes made a big impression. I gave her my full and immediate attention. "Good afternoon," I said. To my disappointment, Ellen remained in my doorway with her stiletto-clad feet spread wide apart, one hand on her hip. She looked about my tiny office and made a show of sniffing the air, like a bloodhound tracking its quarry. "It smells pretty in here," she said. Before I could tell her that it was one of those plug-in air fresheners, she added, "It smells like vagina. Max, have you had vagina in your office today?" Momentarily taken aback, I managed only a hesitant, "No." But then I rebounded, adding, "At least, none of any quality." I fixed her with an intense stare and a shit-eating grin. That is, not until now. Ellen nodded. "Exactly." Beaming like a cat about to swallow a canary, she let my door swing silently closed. Then, without another word, she plopped herself down in the chair across from me and crossed her legs. And thus began a typical day at work for me. Why fitness? It's a question I've been asked many times. Given my family's long-established predisposition for becoming doctors and lawyers, how the hell did I wind up working in the fitness industry? The answer is simple. Like many people, I'd grown up with only one career in mind, and it didn't work out. My childhood dream had been to be a veterinarian, a goal I nearly achieved. I worked part-time as a prominent vet's assistant, learning the business and assisting in surgeries, while maintaining a 3.9 GPA. Unfortunately, I discovered that being a veterinarian wasn't everything I'd imagined. It wasn't about giving kittens vitamins and putting band-aids on puppy paws. It was dirty, primitive work, with animals constantly dying on the operating table. I also learned that vets earn much of their income by disposing of unwanted pets via lethal injection. These animals do not want to die and will fight you tooth and claw to stay alive. In the end, I couldn't stomach coming home covered in blood and hair with the screams of dying dogs and cats echoing in my ears. I quit my job at the vets and dropped out of college. I started bumming around and working odd jobs. Eventually, my empty wallet and money-hungry landlord joined forces to remind me that I needed a steady paycheck. After some soul-searching, I decided to turn something I enjoyed into a career, working in physical fitness. What could be more logical? I lived for working out, so making it my job would be a pleasure rather than a chore. I'd already been exercising for 8 years, and it would give me the chance to share my knowledge with others. I'd motivate my clients by showing them how I started off as a skinny, malnourished teen weighing only 130 pounds at 6'1" and transformed myself into a 190-pound athlete. Becoming a personal trainer and helping other people seemed like a sensible, even noble thing to do. With that in mind, and knowing absolutely nothing about the well-lubricated meat grinder that awaited me, I eagerly applied to one of the local chains. And thus, it began. Qualifications and industry overview. By writing this book, I want to provide potential, current, and former health club members with a no-holds-barred, behind-the-scenes look at the fitness industry based on my own experiences. The numbers of people currently attending health clubs are staggering. As of the date this was written, there are over 26,000 health clubs in the U.S. alone, with more than 50 million members. I was employed in the fitness field for 20 years in a variety of locations. Over the course of my decades-long career, I worked in 8 different health clubs ranging from 13,000 to 40,000 square feet. For the purposes of this book, we'll call them Empirical Sports Clubs or Empirical Sports, Dynar Fitness, U.S. Amazing Fitness, and Caveat Sports Clubs, or Caveat Sports. The largest fitness chains in the country owned 6 of them, while the remaining 2 were private labels. Like most people starting out new to a field, I had to start at the bottom and work my way up from there. I certainly paid my dues. Over the years, I wore many hats, from beleaguered floor instructor to sadistic personal trainer, all the way up to general manager. I ran facilities that hosted more than 10,000 members and learned all sorts of unpleasant corporate secrets along the way. I also discovered the disturbing things that went on in my clubs, things I wouldn't have believed possible, but which often happened right under clients' noses. When I eventually realized that the only way to make money in fitness was via selling gym memberships, I changed gears. I busted my ass until I became one of the top salespeople in the industry, and also one of the most popular. Over a period of 17 years, I enrolled over 25,000 clients. While doing so, I encountered some of the most interesting, attractive, bizarre, and depraved, if not outright insane, people I've ever met in my life. Working in fitness changes people, and not just on the outside. When I first started in the industry, I was an innocent. I had naive, preconceived notions about how health clubs operated. I believed they existed purely to benefit their clients with the gift of health. I quickly learned otherwise. In fact, I ended up knowing too much. In the pages of Memoirs of a Gym Rat, you'll discover that many of the crimes I expose, I'm guilty of committing myself. It's the truth, and I won't bother denying it. That's why I know all about the bad things that happen in gyms, because I did them. Why? It would be easy to explain myself by saying, peer pressure, it's the nature of the beast, or I'm a guy, what do you expect, and leave it at that. But those would be cop-outs. The truth is, I was young and single, working in an industry filled with temptations, and I succumbed to them. I was a flawed person to begin with, but the job brought these weaknesses and imperfections to the fore. I did some mean, unethical things, and I grew to enjoy them. My personality changed, but not for the better. After a few years, I could barely recognize myself. When I look back at the person that I was, it's like I'm looking back at a stranger. I thank God that the man I was back then is not the man I am today. Still, the following are truthful accounts of what I saw and did. You're about to discover what went on daily, sometimes behind closed doors, sometimes not, in the high-profile gyms where I worked. And you'll get an idea of what may be going on where you exercise. Although told with a warped sense of humor, much of the content of this book is shocking and not for the faint of heart. There is foul and explicit language, sexual innuendo, and situations that are frankly disgusting. Reader discretion is advised. For those of you who do choose to peruse these pages, I hope Memoirs of a Gym Rat serves as a useful survival guide for any of you using a health club, working in the field, or considering doing so. If not, maybe you'll have a few laughs. Healthfully yours, Max Hawthorne.